It's The Takeaway. I'm Lizzie O'Leary, host of the podcast What Next TBD from Slate, in for Tanzina Vega. We have a busy show today with updates on the Paycheck Protection Program for businesses hit by the lockdowns and Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot later in the hour. But first, it's good to get perspective on disasters from, well, other disasters.
Coast Guard here in New Orleans received a call that MODU, the Mobile Offshore Drilling Unit, Deepwater Horizon, had an explosion and a fire.
Giant oil rig which exploded and burned and now has sunk into the ocean off the coast of Louisiana. A new problem, thousands of barrels of crude oil flooding into the Gulf of Mexico.
So let me be clear. BP is responsible for this leak. BP will be paying the bill.
Sorry for the massive disruption it's caused to their lives. And, you know, there's no one who wants this thing over more than I do. You know, I'd like my life back.
All my fishermen is very, very worried about the oil spill.
I see on TV the birds drenched in oil, the fishermen out of work, the massive oil spill, the oil slick destroying our precious ecosystem.
It's a big suction cup.
The bottom off of a milk cart.
A big chimney. A bucket over a fire hose.
A huge coffee cup.
The big idea to fix the oil spill that's gushing from the underwater well is to cover it. Seems a little late.
The people of the Gulf Coast need our help, and they deserve nothing less than for us to stand up and do whatever is necessary to stop this spill, prevent further damage, and compensate all those who've been harmed already.
This week marked 10 years since the BP Deepwater Horizon disaster. The Deepwater Horizon explosion killed 11 people working on the rig and injured countless others. Tens of thousands of birds, fish, sea turtles, and other wildlife also died in the aftermath. The massive spill polluted thousands of miles of coastline from Florida to Texas and left local fisheries and other industries in ruins. The BP oil spill was, and still is, one of the worst environmental disasters in U.S. history. At the time, I was reporting from Louisiana on the immediate aftermath of the oil spill. I was there for almost 4 months, and to this day, I'm still haunted by some of the things I saw. Drowning dolphins, oil on beaches, men whose friends were killed. And while we don't see the most visible effects of the disaster, the Gulf region is far from a full recovery. We're still learning the long-term effects on everything, from the loss of bird populations to oil pollution in the water, despite spending billions of dollars on cleanup efforts in the decade since. For more on the 10th anniversary of the Deepwater Horizon explosion, we're joined by Lisa Friedman, a climate change reporter for the New York Times. Lisa, it's good to have you with us.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Also with us is Frances Beinecke, former president of the Natural Resources Defense Council and a member of the National Commission on the BP Deepwater Horizon oil spill and offshore drilling. Frances, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Great to be here.
I want to start with you, Frances. You were a member of this bipartisan commission that found systematic failures of risk management on the part of BP, Transocean, Halliburton were the immediate cause of the accident. But you also found that the entire industry's safety culture was a real problem. Has that changed at all?
I think one thing that has really happened is that the safeguards that were put in place by the Interior Department that were recommended by the commission were adhered to in the beginning, but it's 10 years later. We have an administration that's very interested in drilling across all our coasts. And the attention to safety and precautionary measures that we strongly recommended, I think, have been put very much on hold, as well as very specific rollbacks in the regulations that were put in place.
Can you talk to me about some of those regulations that were put in place and then what was rolled back?
Well, there were two in particular, one around the blowout for the Deepwater Horizon, and the other was the well control rule, which took many years to figure out the engineering and the design of that new rule. It was finalized in 2016, and the Trump administration has weakened it since.
Lisa, you recently spoke with Frances and the other commission members for the New York Times. In terms of what we saw from those recommendations, what sense of them have translated into permanent policies?
When I spoke to all of the commissioners, they kind of divided when I talked to them about their reflections about where we stand now and how how much safer we are or aren't, divided things into how industry has done, how Congress has done, and how the administration has done. And for the most part, a number of commissioners really seem to take this accident to heart. A lot of the big companies did make safety improvements, particularly in containment. Where I found the greatest frustrations were, as you might expect, in the rollbacks to the well control rule. Most acutely, I think, also the lack of action that Congress has taken over the past 10 years.
So I guess I wonder, Francis, do you think the U.S. is better prepared today than it was 10 years ago for something like this, if it happens again?
I think this could happen again. I think we're marginally better prepared, but I think you never know what the next accident is going to be. So we worked very hard at ensuring that there was a proposals for a widespread change in the culture of the industry so they would be prepared for any kind of an accident. I think what happens after a spill or an event of this magnitude is you're prepared in the beginning and then time passes and you know, people relax their attention to it. So it's a high-risk event, but doesn't happen often. So I think this could happen again, and I am worried that we would not be adequately prepared for it.
One thing I was really struck by when I covered this was a big tug of war over who was in charge, whether the government was or BP was. Who should bear responsibility, Francis, in a disaster like this?
Well, I think the thing that was very important here was that BP did bear responsibility. The Coast Guard took responsibility for managing the operation on the ground, but BP was responsible, was financially responsible, and has paid out over $60 billion in the aftermath of this spill. And I think one thing that is incredibly worrisome is there are very few companies with that kind of deep pocket. If this happened again, it was a smaller company, who would bear the brunt of the cost of that? And in fact, that's why preparedness is so important, because we can't afford this kind of a spill. The environment can't afford it. The workers can't afford it. The states can't afford it. And we have to do everything we can to prevent it from happening again.
Lisa, oil has been on everybody's mind in the past day or so as we've seen prices plunge. And I guess I'm curious, offshore drilling really collapsed after this explosion, but we've seen a resurgence in production over the past few years. What does production look like today?
It has surpassed pre-accident levels by a few hundred thousand barrels a day. My colleague Cliff Krause, who covers the oil industry closely, you know, he noted that oil companies brought seven new projects online in 2019, and you know, nine more were expected this year. But you know, I think there's going to be a rethinking of investments. But you know, production growth has gone up dramatically. The agency that is supposed to be separate from the agency focusing on oil production made a point of, under this administration, issuing a press release to applaud a recent, you know, record 2 billion barrels a day of total U.S. production.
You know, you mentioned Congress earlier, Lisa, and I guess I wonder, are there things that they were working on and then have shelved? I imagine that is sort of still on hold given everything else that's happening.
There's a number of things that Congress hasn't done, and now everything has been shelved, you know, in light of the coronavirus disaster. I think, you know, some of the big things that were posed to me were, you know, Congress never formally divided BSEE, the Bureau of Safety and Enforcement, from another separate agency that is supposed to be more focused on production. And, you know, while the Obama administration did that, as we've learned from regulations, things done by executive order can be easily undone or are subject to the whims of a next administration. So there's a lot of people who feel that agency remains vulnerable.
Francis, I want to talk about the sort of irony here that you mentioned in funding, right? The money that has gone to restore the coastline has come largely from oil companies. Is there any way to disentangle that funding stream?
Well, I think right now, everybody is short of funding. The economy is in shatters. And, you know, fortunately, there was a huge amount of money made available because of this spill, and it did go into restoration. And the need is great. And remember, it's not just the damage from the spill. There's tremendous damage, erosion, subsidence from years and years and decades of drilling down there. So the oil industry should be responsible for the damage that has been incurred over the long term of drilling in that region. And fortunately, the money is going to restoration, and particularly the state of Louisiana, which had quite a comprehensive plan for restoration, but no way to fund it. Now, literally billions of dollars are heading in that direction for Louisiana. But let me just say that the Gulf Coast is at risk, not only from the oil and gas industry, but from the consequences of climate change and sea level rise. So it's a very vulnerable part of this country.
Lisa, just quickly, as we mentioned at the top, the oil spill devastated ecosystems and economies in the Gulf. But there was a new study in February that showed that some of this damage is even worse than we initially thought. What can you tell us about invisible oil and what it did?
Sure. I mean, we are still learning about the consequences of the deepwater spill. I would just say, you know, for example, right, one study that just came out a few weeks ago found fish in the Gulf of Mexico are still contaminated with oil a decade later.
Frances Beinecke is the former president of the Natural Resources Defense Council, and Lisa Friedman is a climate change reporter for The New York Times. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
The Takeaway is committed to covering climate change all this week as part of a collaboration with hundreds of other media outlets and organizations. This project is called Covering Climate Now, and you can find all our coverage at thetakeaway.org/coveringclimatenow.